I wonder if I should go make a spot of tea for the podcast. I've been drinking tea this weekend.
Proper tea with milk in and everything?
No, no milk. Just
it's a black tea then.
Two lumps.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Sweet tea. Sweet tea.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know how much a lump is, but two little teaspoons of sugar or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
In every job that must be done, there is an element of fun. You find the fun, and snap, the job's a game. And every task you undertake becomes a piece of cake, a lark, a spree. It's very clear to see that a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, the medicine go down, medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in a most delightful way.
What's up, Who Dat Nation? And thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a 0, very much like the number of touchdowns the Falcons scored yesterday. Well, I think we're all excited that Taysomania has arrived. I think the Saints served the Falcons with a nice, big, hefty plate of Taysom of this. What are you, all the other people are calling it Taysom time. I don't have any more Taysom puns, so we'll just go ahead and get into the show. Put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy Taysom of this show. Actually, you know what? I have one more. When we go to Thanksgiving, and your mom says, hey, taste some of this. It tastes good, doesn't it? Oh, my God. All right, Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
My number is 0 as well. We are recording in the early afternoon, so haven't been drinking as of yet. I did hear a good nickname, Vanilla Vic. I'll give Vanilla. He wears number 7. He runs. He throws. All right, well.
No, sir. I didn't like it.
Well, no, yeah, he probably did. No, I don't like it because it's a reference to Vanilla Ice, number one. Also sad and pathetic. Number two, it's Michael Vick, sad and pathetic. Uh-uh. And we don't do anything closely related to the Falcons. No.
Who let the dogs out?
Nope. Thank you.
Other than that, I'm good. I'm all great. Right. I'm ecstatic.
James, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm a 1, probably. It's 10 o'clock at night here. It's Falcons Victory Monday, so I thought I'd partake in a beer for the show.
Somebody's right. Drinking.
And he's not even allowed to drink.
He's not even supposed to be.
Shh. Tell my doctor.
I know he's a big listener of the show. We'll have to edit that out.
Doesn't matter, it can't happen.
Why not? It's bound to come up.
It's impossible. Lois could never have Superman's baby. Do you think her fallopian tubes could handle his sperm? I guarantee he blows a load like a shotgun right through her back. What about her womb? Do you think it's strong enough to carry his child?
Sure, why not?
He's an alien, for Christ's sake. His Kryptonian biological makeup is enhanced by Earth's yellow sun. If Lois gets a tan, the kid could kick right through her stomach. Only someone like Wonder Woman has a strong enough uterus to carry his kid. The only way he could bang regular chicks is with a kryptonite condom. That would kill him.
All right, let's get into talking about Taysom's game. His first start, he scored 2 touchdowns on the ground. He threw for 1.
He threw for 0,
but it was called back on a holding
penalty. That's what I'm thinking
about.
Yeah, 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 yeah. All right, well, let me redo this because I don't even think I gave room for music. All right, let's get into the game recap. Now, Taysom ran it for 2 touchdowns. He threw 1 that was called back, and then Kamara ran in for 1 himself. So the Saints had no passing touchdowns.
No.
And this would be the first time that's happened since, I would imagine, Drew.
Probably been a while.
Breeze has
probably been a while.
Buffalo, 2-3 years ago.
Was it?
48 points scored, and all of it was on rushing touchdowns.
Oh, wow. So what did y'all say yesterday on the 2-point conversion instant reaction show that maybe warrants elaboration?
Well, I mean, he was 18 to 23, 233 yards, two touchdowns, like you said, 51 rushing yards. He was very, his completion percentage was in the 70s, which is
okay.
Excellent. A lot of people didn't expect that. You know, I felt that he was very accurate with a lot of his passes. He had some heat on him. The one that Michael Thomas dropped, you know, he said it was his fault, but he said, Taysom throw some fastballs. So
was that some shade at Drew?
I don't know if it was shade at Drew or just that Taysom throws some fastballs. I don't know. I mean, you know, Drew's in his 40s. Taysom's 30. You know, he's going to have a little bit more pop on it. You know, I thought it was funny. Speaking of 30, you know, Ryan Clark made a big deal before the game on ESPN that, you know, I don't know what Sean Payton's doing. You know, Taysom Hill, he's 30 years old and he hasn't thrown any meaningful passes in the NFL. What with 30-year-old, you know, starts their career, you know, at 30 and blah, blah, blah. Hey, bud, Steve Young didn't start at quarterback until he was 30.
So, Hall of Famer Steve Young.
Hall of Famer Steve Young. I did not know that. That is a very good thing to point out for the people who are talking smack about this. Mm-hmm. I will say about his passing, I'm glad you did, but about his passing, dude. So we saw Teddy last year come in. His passing left a little bit to be desired. I'm not even talking about the decision making. I'm talking about his throws were a little high, a couple of too many times. Some of them floated or sailed. Last week, watching Jameis Winston, kind of the same issue, right? Somebody mentioned it last week. This week, Taysom didn't do that. And I really do wonder if that's what really went into the Saints' decision was that when they, because both guys, you could say before yesterday's game, were a little indecisive for a little too long to where they maybe took a sack or had to run it or something like that. This time, Taysom, when he made his decisions, when he threw the ball, they looked good. His passes looked good. A couple of them a little off, but as we saw later today, I think the big high throw Sanders had to come back and get and wait for like a punt return. He was hitting the knee when he threw the ball. Right. So not his fault. In fact, even better that he threw it. And then he did have the one that he threw like on the run while he was all weird. And I did think about it. I'm like, you think Drew's over there being like, set your feet, man. Because he was wild. It was different. It was watching a totally, like, we're conditioned to Drew Brees now. So it's really weird watching some fast, mobile quarterback just, like, go wild.
You know, and if it takes him a little longer to make decisions, you know, he's got the speed to bail himself out of it. You know, he can roll out. He can run if he needs to. He can do a few different things. If you notice that second touchdown, you know, that was supposed to be a pass play. You know, the first one was a design quarterback draw, but the second was a design pass play. And, man, he turned that corner and he saw the green line, you know, and just he put on the jets. And he ran by two defenders to get into the end zone. One of them, Deion Jones, who is very fast linebacker. So just to be able to have that skill set. And I think that, too, you know, maybe led to them deciding to start him is his mobility. You know, Jameis, you know, didn't look – he's not known as a mobile quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, pocket he could pass. Probably run and get out of, yeah, you know, but I mean, you know, with Taysom, he can take off and he can and do it with some speed.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing that I took from it is that Peyton was trying to make him a passing quarterback yesterday. The first, you know, we script what, the first 20 plays, 15 to 20 plays, all passes. There was no quarterback runs in the first scripted set of plays at all.
The
and in
very
fact,
first
I don't think,
half, right?
I don't think there was a designed quarterback run until the third quarter, which I think was his touchdown, the first touchdown.
That and you saw the quote that Peyton, whether he wrote or said, was that was in fact the plan. Like he knows everybody's criticism of Taysom is that he's not a thrower. Sean Payton knows that he's a thrower. And who can run, not a runner who can throw. And those first 15, 16, 17 plays were designed to show that to everybody, to make that case. And I bet you Atlanta probably that's part of what made it work in the first half too, was they were waiting for that. Oh, he's going to run. They pull in some kid off the street to come and play and practice. You know, Atlanta did during the week to come play in practice to try and get him used to the running, scrambling kind of a quarterback. And how'd that work out for you, Roddy? That was
awesome. And kind of like we talked about on the instant reaction show, you know, there was no tape on him, so it was probably a little hard to prepare for him. It'd be interesting to see what Denver and even what Atlanta does the second time around, now that they have some tape on him. But, you know, that's kind of the genius of Sean Payton, where, you know, he knows, look, nobody has tape on him. I can do X, Y, and Z. But now that they do, he also knows that I can change things up and do Z, Y, and X. You know, I really think that the job he has done coaching last year and this year with Breeze going out, he really needs to be in the Coach of the Year conversation, as far as I'm concerned. Sean Payton does. Now, you'll probably have Tomlin in that conversation with the Steelers being undefeated and whatnot. But, man, I really think Payton needs to be in the Coach of the Year. He's earning his money right now.
Yeah, if you'd have said at the start of last season that we're going to play, what, we played 5 games last year, we're probably going to play 3 games this year at least with no Breeze, and currently we are 6-0 in those games, you wouldn't have put a lot of money on that being the case, would you?
You would not have taken the over.
Definitely not.
For sure. So, let's I guess, you know, the other big headline of the game is the defense. Defense was unreal yesterday.
If last week Chauncey was the guy all over the field, this week it was Quan.
Yep. Quan and DeMario, everybody. Both of them.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that your defensive line was just on fire. And, you know, a lot of that also has to do with the cornerback play. You know, the coverage was great. And we didn't have Lattimore, you know, which, you know, kind of people worried about going into the game. We don't have Lattimore. What's the secondary going to look like? And, man, they stepped up. They stepped up big time.
Yeah, Jenkins had his best game since we signed him. P-Rob was good. Marcus Williams had a pick. I think I said yesterday, you know, you didn't really hear Malcolm Jenkins' name, which isn't a bad thing, really. If it's quiet, it means there hasn't been a lot going his way. But for me, it's the D-line. That the D-line is playing as well as I think I've ever seen a Saints defensive line play. Constant pressure from everywhere, inside and outside. I mean, the only player who didn't really get any pressure yesterday was Davenport. He had a bit of a quiet game by his standards, but Cam Jordan, Trey Hendrickson, Onyemata all had multiple sacks.
Mm-hmm. Hendrickson tied for the lead in sacks in the NFL. Yeah. He's going to, you know, Jason said it a bunch of times, he's going to get paid for sure. Probably won't be by us because we're not going to have the money to pay everybody.
I'm not as convinced as y'all. Mickey Loomis has proven everybody wrong time and time and time again. He sometimes can find a way. And if the Saints want him, they're going to find a way to pay him and keep him on the
team. Yes, but they just have so many other players to pay.
If the Saints want him, they'll find a way to keep him on this team.
And it kind of depends on the cap, what the cap does.
Yeah.
You know, if it goes up or not with all this COVID stuff. And so we'll have to see.
Yeah, technically Ramczyk and Lattimore have got the fifth-year options we can exercise, but obviously the fifth-year options can be quite expensive for both of their positions, can't it? So you're probably looking at getting them signed up long term. I still maintain that Ramczyk has got to be the priority out of those two.
Yeah. Especially, you know, after yesterday, you kind of see we can maybe play without Lattimore if we have to.
So anyway, game recap. It's not predictions of salary cap negotiations. Recap.
All right, game recap. like I said, defense played great.
So what about Deontay Harris? How's he going to be? Because he got pulled out.
Well, he was hurt. Yeah, he was hurt part of the game. I haven't really heard any kind of update on him. Stinger, he had a stinger. So
he'll be fine next week.
He should be okay. Now, I think Quan Alexander kind of popped up on the injury radar after the game. I think Deuce McAllister mentioned his name. Haven't heard anything about him. He was tweeting earlier today. He didn't really give any kind of indication as to an injury or anything. So hopefully he'll be all right as well. Man, he just makes the team so much better.
Probably just tired from all the activity. It's the first time he's played that much and done so much.
We've genuinely got two really good linebackers.
Yes.
Two really good linebackers. I mean, DeMario is just, he's been brilliant for 3 years. But Alexander's got the side to side. He's got range. He can cover. You know, it almost frees DeMario Davis to go up to almost be the additional pass rusher on almost every down.
Do you realize our D-line, for what it is, like every single guy is like top-notch, grade A. Then now we have two linebackers, top-notch, start grade A, and then the secondary grade A. This literally is, this might be the best defense the Saints have ever had on paper. Right? I mean, this is better than the Dome Patrol, because back then it was mainly the linebackers and the D-line. But the secondary left a little bit to be desired. I mean, you had Toy Cook back there. I mean,
Yeah. It definitely left a little to be desired. I would have to tend to agree that this defense is probably one of the best ones we've had, which, you know, bodes well for us as far as, you know, getting into the postseason and hopefully going deep into the postseason. You know, Super Bowl is the goal, so if they keep playing like that, and hopefully, knock on wood, we can stay healthy. Sky's the limit. You know, I think Quan makes everything better now that you have two solid linebackers. You know, you there's different blitz packages you can run. Makes the D-line better. Makes us better in coverage, which gives the D-line more time to get to the quarterback. I mean, so, you know, it just makes – everything better. Rising tide raises all boats. So,
Conceded one touchdown in the last three games.
That's amazing.
That's awesome too.
So was it? We conceded 3 points against the Bucks. Was it 14, 17 against the Niners? I can't remember how many it was against San Francisco. 13 against San Francisco, and then obviously 9 yesterday. 8 points conceded per game in the last three games.
That's why when y'all were doing score predictions last week, and everybody was going way too high. I think I predicted the Falcons to score 3. So I was off by a little bit, or maybe 6.
Did you go 28-3 by any chance?
I should have. Damn, that would have been awesome.
That would have been awesome.
So it was 24. You know, I mean,
the Falcons have got a really good offense. You know, they got a running game, not so good, but you know, the wide receivers to keep them out of the end zone. You know, they've been scoring 30 points per game since Raheem Morris took over.
Yeah. You know, and Julio was hurt some of the game. He was kind of in and out, but you know,
he was scared.
Probably. Yeah.
He didn't want to get Evan
Ridley down. Yeah, he didn't.
What was the other stat that Ash had sent this morning? Here it is. So the Falcons, I'm guessing this is like year to date, or was it even just yesterday? Like 2 interceptions.
That was yesterday.
8 sacks given up. That was yesterday.
Yeah, that was yesterday.
And 3 total wins on the season.
Yeah. What does that give you?
8-3.
2-8-3.
Familiar. Yep. That's right.
Sounds familiar. The lucky numbers.
Let's see. Also, Gurley only ran for 26 yards max.
12 rushing attempts yesterday, I think I saw.
Gurley was 8. Correct. Gurley was 8, and then 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 total for the team.
The teams just don't even bother running on us anymore. They don't even try.
It almost seems like it.
Yeah, they threw it 37 times. Well, they called 37 pass plays.
Yeah, they didn't throw it 37 times.
I don't know. Actually, does a sack? What does a sack count? A sack's not an attempt, is it?
No, it's not. No.
So actually, they called more than 37 pass plays. They called like 88 pass plays.
Kind of something we talked about too. You know, I don't know. You know, Kamara had that foot going into the game. He had zero catches. I think that was the first time in 54 games since he's been playing that he has not recorded a reception. It was kind of interesting. Murray had a good game, was good on the ground, caught a couple of passes. Don't know 100% for sure if he's healthy, you know, and it kind of questioned it when they were coming out of halftime. They showed him on a bike on the sideline, and that was the first time I was like, you know, I wonder if he's hurting or what. So it'd be interesting to see what kind of injury designation, if he carries one, and what the extent of it is. He didn't look 100% like himself. I mean, he had some flashes here or there, but he didn't look 100% like himself. And I think we said last night that him and Murray had about the same amount of carries. I think one had 5 and one had 6, I think it was, for kind of around the same amount of yards. So it was just interesting that, you know, of course, Taysom made up a little bit of the rushing attempts, but 0 passes, you know, caught by Kamara. So
you're so used to seeing Kamara do alien things week in, week out. When he doesn't, it does kind of ring an alarm bell, doesn't it? I mean, like you said, he looked like he did last season, where he looked almost a little bit disinterested. Not saying he was, but he just looked a little bit checked out from the game. Whereas the previous few weeks, he's looked really on it.
That's maybe not what I wouldn't characterize it as that, because he seemed like he was into the game. It almost sounds like you're saying like he was emotionally checked out. And I think if anything, right, he wasn't getting the call, right? And maybe that was game plan. Maybe they knew the Falcons were going to key in on Taysom. Kamara, because they were going to make Taysom beat him in the air with, you know, lacking the respect. So let's take Kamara out of the game. Because, you know, say you're going to go play against the 49ers, you're going to go after McCaffrey and neutralize him and make whatever the quarterback is beat you, because you don't want to be beaten by their best guy. So it could be, and I wasn't paying close enough attention to notice if the Falcons were just covering Kamara or if they were just not looking at it. But you didn't see a lot of the same plays that they call with Drew Brees either. You know, Brees, you know, there's always the running back. There's always these little safety valves for Brees, and you've got like 15 guys ready to catch the ball 5 yards down the field. Well, the play calls yesterday, there were not as many short options. There was like your regular two options, one or two, and then everybody else was medium and long throws, which, you know, you're not going to call that with Drew Brees. So it was I think it was a completely different playbook, which
it was Peyton's Rona playbook, the plays he was coming up with while he was quarantined or when he had the Rona.
Ever since Taysom got on
for quite a while. Murray had 12 rushes for 49 yards. Kamara had 13 for 45. So they were pretty close.
And Taysom had 10 for 51. Would have had 80 if that 30 yarder wasn't called back for holding.
Yeah. Michael Thomas came back in a big way, 9 for 104. So that was good to see him really get back in the mix. It seems like Taysom really relied on him a lot.
Easy.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, Taysom relied on him a lot. You know, it's, you know, when you got a new quarterback in there, you got to find your go-to person. And he was definitely the go-to guy.
Yeah. But I think Sanders was noticeable with his 4 catches, but 5 again, 1 called back. So everybody had at least a big play. That's 3 big plays called back. Sanders touchdown, Michael Thomas, like 20, 30 yard first down, and Taysom Hill's first down run, all negated by the referees. Granted, they might have been legit, but but still, you know, you clean that mess up and we win this game. Probably it's 31-9. At least 31-9, if not worse.
Yeah, we definitely left some points on the field yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Anything left on the game? You fellas got anything else left to talk about for the game?
Yeah, I love Taysom.
I tell you this much, the debate's over, right? There's no debate.
Is it?
I did say judge him not on the first game, rather, when I was talking about Winston, like give him all five games before you make a judgment right. call. So let's see. Yeah, Taysom had a good game. You got to do it again and again and again. You can't right. do it once and then next week come out and lay an egg.
So yeah, and we'll see what he does against Denver. Like I said, they got tape on him now, so it'll be interesting to see what kind of things Sean Payton schemes up, you know, for the Broncos. We're playing up there, so it's going to be obviously probably cold.
That's his natural habitat, dude.
That's where the Taysom lives.
And right. it didn't look cold in Denver yesterday when Miami were playing there.
I kind of looked at the weather report.
It may not be like super cold, but it is mile high. Your oxygen level is
right.
harder to breathe.
I did look at the weather report for next week. Now, obviously, it's a week away. It is supposed to be sunny. I want to say the high was like 50 degrees. So, you know, it might not be too bad. As long as it's not snowing and shit, I think we'll be fine. The wind didn't look crazy or anything. So,
isn't BYU up there in the Utah or something?
In Utah, yeah.
Yeah.
So Denver's in Colorado.
It's all the same over there. It's the Rocky Mountains.
Oh, okay. Rocky Mountain High.
Yeah, the Saints are going to come back pretty. Suitcases full of goodies.
So what we want to know is, who's got the
All right, let's do a quick NFL reach around. Where's Scott? This will be the last Joe Burrow check-in of the year.
Yeah, it was pretty sad seeing him get carted off the field yesterday. it broke my heart, to be honest. You know, and I've seen a lot of people talking about it on TV and whatnot, and just feel like he shouldn't have probably been put in that situation behind such a bad O-line. He's thrown
so like don't play.
No, but you know they have thrown
create
more. He's
linemen.
Been asked. No, he's been. But what I'm saying is, you can run the ball and not ask him to drop back as much as you have been. He's been throwing and dropping back more than any other quarterback in the NFL this year. Behind a horrendous O-line, this was not a if. In a, you know, not an if, but a when this was going to happen.
Especially on and, that field.
Yeah.
That's
a
quarterback's
and,
graveyard, that stadium, isn't it?
Yes. And he, tore his ACL and MCL. Like, yep. it's a lot worse than they originally thought it was going to be.
Does this have career impact?
I mean, you never know how anybody comes back from an injury, but I don't think he'll be back. He's a tough guy, you know. He'll bounce back, but it's gonna take a while. And it could be if you don't get somebody to fucking block for him, you know. I mean, would you want to go behind that line after you tore your ACL? I wouldn't. I mean, I know he's getting paid millions and millions of dollars to do it, but fuck, you need to do something. They need to draft somebody or get somebody
I'm
in free agency
will.
To protect this guy. He's their franchise. You know, they ain't shit without him.
That's how shitty an organization they are.
You know, and I just feel bad for him. He tore his ACL and MCL and suffered other structural issues in his knee as well. So,
right.
It's,
like, how do
you know,
come
it's
back
not,
from that?
You're going to have to. It's not Alex Smith bad, but it's bad.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't, like I said, I wouldn't want to get behind that line.
I mean, he's damaged goods now.
I don't want to say he's damaged goods. He's still Big Dick Joe. He ain't damaged goods.
He ain't Big Knee Joe.
His knee's going to be swollen.
He's proven he can do it. He just needs to be given the protection and the weapons, and I think he'll still have a successful career.
He is the kind of guy who bounces back from stuff. It's just more of a – it's not going to be a mental issue. It's going to be a physical issue if the rehab goes well.
Yeah. He's got the confidence to step in and to come back.
Yeah. And the youth. I mean, this happens to a 30-year-old. He ain't coming back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, if that happens to Taysom, done.
Time for Jameis.
Yeah.
What else happened around the NFL this week that's notable besides Washington actually winning that game?
Well, yeah. I mean, after you do that to the quarterback. Steelers are still undefeated. They beat the Jags 27-3. Panthers shut out the Lions. Kind of surprised that, I mean, the Lions aren't great, but to throw a shutout in the NFL, anytime anybody does that, is pretty good, pretty impressive. Titans and the Ravens was a great game. You know, Henry scored a touchdown in overtime, a long touchdown in overtime.
Did you see the pregame?
Mm-mm. Oh, so yes, there was a fight pregame. I did see that. Go ahead.
The Titans went and stood on the Ravens logo as a team. And the Ravens and the Ravens took exception to it, particularly John Harbaugh.
Yes, it was Harbaugh. Harbaugh was out on the field. The Ravens all came out, ran to the center of the field. Harbaugh said something to one of the players whose name I cannot think of off the top of my head, and they had to be separated. Like, they were about ready to throw, and I don't think the players were still in the locker room, so they weren't even out there. Harbaugh was going at it with this player by himself. So, pretty interesting. And, you know, the news came out today that the Ravens are on lockdown right now because I believe it was Ingram and J.K. Dobbins both tested positive for COVID. And so they're doing contact tracing. Now, they play Thursday against the Steelers. So, since it's a short week, I mean, there's a possibility that
Dobbins
could be
both out. Yeah, they're both out. Yeah.
Hopefully they'll still get to play the game, you know, because that's really the only good game that's on Thanksgiving this year. Let's see what else happened. The Colts, you know, did us a favor and beat the Packers in overtime.
Woo!
So we are now number one.
That was crazy. What about the ending of that game?
That was nuts.
Like, is there proof?
They are trying to throw the Packers and Aaron Rodgers the biggest bone they could throw them. I mean, if that's not evidence that the NFL doesn't want the Packers, you know, in the Super Bowl, I don't know what is. It was unbelievable.
Did you see the two touchdown catches in the Cowboys Vikings game?
No,
I did not.
The one by CeeDee Lamb. And then there's one one-handed catch by Adam Thielen. If you've not seen it, you need to check them both out. Uh-huh. Unreal catches, both of them. And that was a bit of a surprise win for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised they beat the Vikings. Very surprising. I saw an alert or something that CeeDee Lamb had a good catch. I didn't go back and watch it. And I think there was some Adam Thielen news today that I had seen. He is on the COVID list. So he's been placed on the reserve COVID list. It's amazing to me that these players play on Sunday and then the next day they get put on the COVID list. Mm. Like, I don't understand how that works. If they were positive, they weren't positive on Sunday, but they're positive on Monday.
Yeah, something dodgy there.
You know, that
you think teams might actually be faking the tests in order to get their players to play?
I don't know. Seems a little strange. Like same thing with the Ravens, you know?
Yeah.
Dobbins and Ingram play yesterday. Today they're on the COVID list. Like, I don't get it.
How you go from game day to, it's not even, because they were tested yesterday morning, right?
Right. So,
and
I mean,
they were tested again today.
And now they're positive.
And by the way, what kind of tests are they doing on these players? Are they sticking things up people's noses every day? Like, is that what it's like to be an NFL player right now?
I think they have a new test where they can swab your inside of your mouth, from what I understand.
Is that the one where you get the results in 4 hours?
Yeah. I guess so. Like, the rapid test that you do up your nose, you can get results in 15 minutes. I don't know about the one in the swab, because my daughter got tested positive last week. She lost her sense of smell. We went to the urgent care. They did the swab in her nose on either side, and in 15 minutes they had a result. So
okay,
I know
so that's your fastest test.
I would assume, yes.
Okay. So,
but if maybe, they're all wearing masks like they're supposed to, and they're only been around their teammates, you would think between Sunday and Monday, right?
Maybe maybe they went out partying after the game.
You might, Rabbit. You might.
But they're supposed to, not supposed to do that.
Or maybe they weren't partying before the game. And how about maybe they had it and it just didn't show up on a test result? I mean, there's so many reasons why it would happen. I mean, but every single person has at least a scenario where one day they have it, or they didn't have it, the next day they have it. I get and I agree with your point, though. It's kind of coincidental that in the NFL, Monday seems to be the magic day that COVID shows up.
Right. And it shows up early in the week. Right. Like, it doesn't show up late in the week. You know, where they're in jeopardy of not playing. Just it always shows up on a Monday.
Right.
It just gives them enough time to get, I think they have to have, what, 3 negative tests for them to mm-hmm. be clear. So it's just a little, I don't know, a little coincidental.
Yeah, that's funny.
Makes you go,
So the Ravens did say they were going to start, like, phasing Ingram out of their.
Now, that was a report by Florio. Who knows? You know.
Oh, sorry. Fake news, everybody.
Yeah. He only had, I think, 2 carries yesterday. Ever since his came back from his injury, they really haven't been running him as much. I don't know if he's hit a wall. You know, he's 31 now, which 30 is kind of that line where running backs kind of start to hit that proverbial wall. So I don't know. You know, I really think that, you know, a lot of people say that the Saints kind of made a mistake letting him go or letting him leave. I almost think that he made a mistake, or his agent made a mistake leaving. Like, yep. He shouldn't have gone. And interesting stat, and I think we were talking about that. They said that Kamara has 50 rushing touchdowns. Is that correct?
Total. Yeah.
50 total.
In life, right?
Yeah. So 34 rushing touchdowns. 15.
So his record only rushing? Is that like the one that Deuce McAllister has?
Yeah.
Doesn't he have the touchdown record? Or is that just for running backs, or is that rushing touchdown?
Here, I'll look it up. What are you looking for?
The record that Deuce has, is it just for rushing touchdowns as a Saint, or is it?
Yeah, Colston's got the total touchdowns, hasn't he? Hasn't Colston got the total touchdown record?
Or is it or is it for running back?
I'm not sure. But Kamara's got 50 in total now.
Total, right, which is only, what, 5 behind what Ingram had when he left.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Is it for running backs? Is that the record that Deuce has, or is Deuce, it just rushing
Deuce,
touchdowns?
All right, rushing touchdowns all time, Deuce with 49. Ingram had 50. Why would they have it Deuce ranked first then? George Rogers with 23.
Maybe it's total.
So rushing, well, let's see, rushing touchdowns. Ingram 50, Deuce 49. So Kamara. It's 35. So Kamara's all time touchdown.
Is it for running back?
Oh, no. It is all time because even the announcer said, including the punt return. So it's 50 all time.
I gotcha.
Yeah. So okay. Kamara's got 35 all time. He's still got 45. 50. He's only needs 15 to pass Ingram.
He's going to do that next season.
Yeah, he's going to pick. He's going to move Dalton Hilliard out of the number 3 spot, probably in the next 2 games, because Dalton Hilliard's in 3rd place with 39, and Kamara's only 35. So it's only 3 times. He could do it next week against Denver. That is a very believable situation. 3, but the rushing touchdowns only. So let's see. Saints all touchdown. Saints touchdown record. Let's see.
I'm sure that's Colston.
Career touchdown leaders for the New Orleans Saints, right? That's what you want to know?
Yeah.
All right. We are looking at Colston with 72. You didn't see that coming, did you? Ingram with, well, the thing needs to move out of my way. Okay. 55.
Maybe that's the record we were talking
about. Ingram, 55.
So maybe that was the record we were talking about. That was the record we were talking about, total touchdowns.
Yeah.
So he's only 5 behind Ingram. And what? 22 behind Colston.
He's five behind Ingram and 50, 60, 70. Yeah. Yeah. And five behind Deuce. So Deuce is also 55. So they Deuce and Ingram both have 55. Dalton Hilliard, 53. Jimmy Graham, 51. Joe Horn, 50.
Jimmy Graham, a 51 Jimmy touchdowns. Graham.
That's crazy. I didn't think
I
it was that.
I don't remember that either. Is also this, I don't even know if this is an accurate thing because they still have Kamara with 45.
He's full of shit.
So
yeah, but
take it with a grain of salt.
But Graham's been gone for a while.
Wow.
Well, that's why he wanted to be paid.
the conclusion I take from that is that Kamara is going to own all the records probably by 2023.
He's got to, right?
I would think at the rate he's going. And he's still, how old is Kamara?
25.
So he's still got about 5 more years. So he's at 30 wall.
That's why he's alien. Yep. All right. So I'm going to skip Pick'em since Jason's not here. But what I will do for you is give a quick little update on the records and stuff. Like, we don't have games because Jason's not here. But last week with the Jets actually coming close enough to the Chargers ruined everybody except Tom Ensign's picks. Cincinnati and Washington also ruined everybody's picks except for Davis Douglas and Sans Hobbs. Kansas City, Vegas was actually a little more split. I think it was because of the big spread. It was 6.5. Tennessee, Baltimore, most people got that one because Tennessee was beat Baltimore, right?
Yeah.
And they were actually giving Tennessee
in overtime. So I don't know how it works in overtime.
Yeah, it's final score plus 6.5. And then Green Bay, Indy was also kind of split. That nice one because we all squeaked. Everybody who picked Indy, you got it by a half point because the spread was 2.5, not 3. Otherwise, it would have been a different story. So, see, Scott, you went 1-4. You and I went 2-3. Jason went 2-3. Let's see. Ben did send his picks in legally this time. So he went, I don't know, maybe he shouldn't have. He went 1-4. I don't have picks from Ash. So there is that. In the larger league, I'll give you all a bigger update next week whenever all the games come in.
Is Jason going to record a separate segment?
We might not do a segment, but we'll tweet them. So pay attention to the Dome Patrol Twitter account and we'll tweet the picks or we'll tweet the games and just reply to that.
It's time to play the game. Put your money on the table. Come on. It's the one game you never, ever win.
Kudat Nation, here's your pickups for this week. I know everything's kind of fucked up this week, but it's Thanksgiving, it's COVID, so here you go. First game, Tennessee at Indy, a big game of the week, AFC South. Colts are favored by 3. You know, Tennessee coming off a nice win last week. The Colts the same against the Packers, so you know, thank you, Indy. This is a big game, probably the second best game of the week. Colts favored by 3. Our next game, the Arizona Cardinals. Coming off a nice game last week, a nice win. They traveled to New England to beat a Pats team who are going to miss the playoffs for the first time in a long time. They're catching 2.5 at home. Our next game is the game of the week that was moved from tomorrow to Sunday due to COVID. The Ravens at the Steelers. Steelers are favored by 4. Man, a lot of COVID things for Baltimore. In addition, dude, if Baltimore loses, they're done. So, you know. 4 points might not be so bad. Our next game is the game of the week. The Chiefs coming off a late win against the Raiders. Travel to Tampa to play a Bucks team coming off a close loss at home. Thank you, Rams. And then our shitty game of the week, the New York Giants. One of the 4 teams in that division with 3 wins. It's insane how bad that division is, but, you know, heaven forbid it be the NFC South. They travel to Cincinnati to play a Bengals team that just lost Joe Burrow, and they suck, and they're paying for it. And it's just stupid. Like, even a player like Burrow can't save a shitty organization like the Bengals. And that's what happened last week. So that's your five games this week. Tennessee at Indy. Indy favored by 3. Arizona at New England. The Pats are getting 2.5 at home. Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh favored by 4. Kansas City at Tampa. Tampa somehow getting 3.5 at home. And then our shitty game, the Giants at the Bengals. Bengals getting 6 at home. So that is 3 home dogs this week. Bye-bye, donkeys.
All right, yeah. So, oh, James, you'd like this, won't you? So James is in the lead for all of Pick'ems with a 33-21 record. Followed by Ash, who is 32-22. But that's because Ash didn't in. That's why you got to send your picks in, Ash, because Ash went 0-5 last week. That's why James overtook him. So I can't wait to hear Ash complain about this one. I went 32-22. I'm 32-22 as well. So actually, I'm ahead of Ash since I actually get my picks in. So I'm in second place. Mordecai is in third place. Then JTL, Tom Ensign, Trevor Bruno, Scott, you're at 30-24. Carp, 209.6. Then Jason, and that Jason is 29-25. Ben is 21-23. So Ben is not above 500. So kind of like the NFC East. Ben is leading the NFC East, followed by Big Easy Guy, John Davis Douglas. Neil, not far. Neil, you're actually not too far off. You could cross over into the win column in the next 2 weeks if you go 5-0. Each week, Sans Hobbs, Christian Mino, Chris McGuire, Gerald Booty, the mailman, rounding out the bottom. And I believe Dave did get his picks in this week, but they didn't help much. Dave, he did send his picks in, but I forgot to record them. Sorry, Dave. He didn't tweet them. So he talked to Ben about that. So once again, we're going to go ahead and post the picks, the games on Twitter. Make sure you're following us at Dome Patrol PCast on Twitter, or search for Dome Patrol US, and then make sure you get your picks in before the first game. We're not going to pick any Thanksgiving games. Don't worry about that. And we didn't even talk about that in the NFL reach around. So real quick, I just want to look ahead. Instead of pick'ems, let's talk about the Thanksgiving games. We got Houston at Detroit. We have Washington at Dallas, and we have Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Who's looking forward to any of these games?
Well, I mean, the Baltimore and Pittsburgh, we did talk about a little bit.
Yeah, we
Jeffrey.
Did.
That's really the only good game.
The Redskins Cowboys game is technically for first place in the NFC East.
There you go. It's going to be a barn burner.
The winner of that game will go to 4-7 and be leading the NFC East with 4-7.
Pathetic. So yeah, at what point is it absolutely guaranteed that the winner of the NFC East has a losing record? Is that about next week or so? If we don't,
well,
have
yeah, it. It's 8-8 is the
yeah
500, isn't it? So
yeah, so once yeah. All right, so there you go. Let's get in.
The Jets were mathematically eliminated from the playoffs yesterday.
First team, pop the cork.
There is a chance with the NFC East that the team that wins the division and gets a home playoff game could be picking top 5 in the draft.
Yeah. That's called a Seahawk.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So the Saints are playing against Denver, which we'll talk about in the next segment, which is Saints Preview. So, out of conference game, probably the least important besides Kansas City for the rest of the season. But it's a game that the Saints really need to win. And you would imagine that without Drew Brees, we're not going to take anything for granted, right? No trap games.
Hopefully not. Broncos are 4-6 on the season.
They're bad.
They were, yeah. I mean, the let's see, who have they beaten? They beat the Jets, who suck. They beat the Patriots, who suck. They did beat the Chargers by 1 point. So
who
that's,
are not a good football team.
Whatever. And they beat the Dolphins this past weekend.
They lose more games than they win. They're not good.
All right, they're not good. They have a good quarterback there.
Okay, that's fine.
And they beat, they beat the Dolphins this past weekend.
A good quarterback, but they were not a good football team.
Okay. So, you know, don't know a whole lot about the Broncos. They have Judy Locke as their quarterback. They have Judy. They do have Melvin Gordon.
Doug Judy?
He is a, no. Jerry Judy. Melvin Gordon, good running back.
Philip Lindsay.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of injuries on defense, though.
The big wide receiver from this weekend was Tim Patrick, whoever the fuck that is. He was five receptions for 119, so he did pretty good. They have Fant. Other than that, not a whole lot.
But at this point, their offense, the way our defense is playing, it doesn't concern me. I'm not concerned about facing their offense at all. The only thing that I think is going to play havoc with the Saints this week will be if the weather's bad. I think if the weather's good and it's okay, I think we win this game easily.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is a game that we should win for sure. Hopefully, we don't play down to our competition.
Right, which I don't think we will. I think the Saints are in a whole nother gear at this point. This is the form you want the team in. Denver is hot garbage. I mean, there is like it's gonna be like playing a high school team.
The thing I do worry about them.
All their Denver's receivers are all either rookies or just like inexperienced. Like this year is their experience. They have a no-name quarterback. Their defense is atrocious. I'm telling you, our defense is going to. You thought Atlanta? You thought this week was feast? Wait till the Sunday after Thanksgiving. The Saints are going to demolish. This is a total destruction game. When we get to score prediction, you'll be astounded by what I say.
The two things I worry about the most is one, escaping with no injuries.
Yep.
And two, if Taysom tries to throw one of those moon balls with that thin air, is it going to stay in the stadium? Because I don't know if it will.
We're not used to that.
We are not. Throwing deep, and I've said it before, him throwing deeper passes, we got a few pass interference penalties that went our way, by throwing those deeper passes this past week. So it's a good thing.
I want to see Will Lutz try at least a 60-yarder this week.
I think 70-yarder would be more appropriate. Yeah.
All right. Last time the Saints played the Denver Broncos, I think was 2016?
Yep.
With Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm. No. The last time we played the Broncos was the game where they blocked the field goal and then he ran out of bounds, but because he was wearing white cleats against the white sideline.
Was that that game? Like
that was the last time we played them, yeah.
In the Dome, right?
Yeah.
Are you sure there wasn't no Peyton Manning on that team?
I think so.
They beat us. They beat us in that game.
I think he'd retired by then.
I think that was his last season. That was their Super Bowl season. Yeah. 2016 Denver Broncos beat the Saints 25-23. And
no, Peyton Manning retired in 2015.
Then oh, Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, who is now our third string quarterback.
Yes, he is.
Oh, maybe they'll let him throw a pass. All right. Okay. So actually, you know, the last time the Saints have actually beaten the Broncos?
Not when Peyton's been the coach.
1994. Y'all.
Yeah, well, this was this was the last chance for Peyton and Breeze to beat the Broncos as a combo, because it's the only team they've never beaten as a pair.
I was gonna say, is this the only one? So there you have that.
And now it won't happen.
Dude, the Saints have only beaten Denver twice in history. That was in 88 and 94. And actually the first time was we won 42-0 in 1988. But we had lost four before that, and we've lost five since. So we are 2-9 against the Denver Broncos.
Does that change your score prediction, Jeffrey?
Nope. It did, because I was originally going to go 64-0. But I'm going to do more of a – let's get into score predictions. I'll go first. I'm going to do 42-0, kind of a little anniversary, a little of the first time we beat them in 1988. We're going to go 42-0, Saints. I'm going to go bold prediction sure to go wrong in that Denver does not cross the Saints 40-yard line.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm going to go 45-10 Saints.
Yeah, all right.
34-10 Saints.
Oh, 34. You're going to struggle a little bit because the high Rocky Mountain air? I mean, yeah, I do wonder what the air is going to do, but they have ways around that, I'm sure.
Comes to something when 34 points is the struggle.
Right, and this is without Drew Brees, yo.
We are all in on the Taysom train.
We are believers. We are believers. So speaking of believing, anybody got a believable final thought? Speak now, forever hold your peace. If not, I'm going to say that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United podcast network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol podcast, the BS and Beer Saints podcast, Pelican Plunge, the Premier League podcast, and Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. Follow the Dome Patrol podcast on Twitter at Dome Patrol US and Dome Patrol UK. Follow the BS and Beer Saint podcast at BS and Beer, at BS and Beer, and Taking the Over at Taking the Over. I can never remember that one. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. Just search for Dome Patrol podcast. And if you want to listen to us the old fashioned way, go to DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye bye, donkeys.
Bye bye, dirty pigeon donkeys. Good night, Houdat Nation.
Happy Saintsgiving. Where the Saints be giving everybody a loss.
Turkey in the oven and the buns in the toaster. I'll never take down my Cheryl Teague's poster. Wrap the turkey up in aluminum foil. My brother likes to masturbate with baby oil. Turkey and sweet potato pie. Sammy Davis Jr. only had one eye. Turkey for the girls and turkey for the boys. My favorite kind of pants are corduroys. Gobble, gobble, goo, and gobble, gobble, giggle. I wish turkey only cost a nickel. Oh, I love turkey on Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.